You are beautiful. That's the message that some want us to see all over the place, on billboards, on little post-it notes, on signs, on buildings. It is a movement to boost the self-esteem of women who have been told either overtly or just through cultural cues that they are not so beautiful. Hi, I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angle is brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Now, men, one can hardly doubt the good intentions of the people who put up the signs that say you are beautiful. After all, it seems that all of, you know, fashion magazines and Pinterest and the rest of the universe cries out to women and says you're not good enough. However, a PhD psychologist writing in Psychology Today by the name of Renee Engeln, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, E-N-G-E-L-N, has said that not only are these "you are beautiful" messages not helpful, but they can actually be damaging to women. And there's an interesting passage in her article in Psychology Today that I want to read to you now, which, because my eyes are imperfect, will require these. She says, social psychologists have amassed decades of research demonstrating that when a message is inconsistent with what you believe, you tend to generate counterarguments in response to it. And what she's saying is that when a woman, at least a woman who struggles with those kind of esteem issues, sees a sign that says you are beautiful, immediately her mind clicks into gear to argue against it, to bring up the counterpoints to that. And I thought it was a strikingly human concept where you have two sides that are basically trying to do the right thing. And the one of them that is overtly spending money to put up signs and tell people who feel oppressed by their plainness, you are beautiful, may actually be making the problem worse. Bill Whittle, how is it possible that people with such good hearts are not necessarily doing good?
Well, before I answer that, I just want to say that prior to just a few moments ago, I thought those billboards were directed at me. Every time we go past one, I just roll down the window and say, thank you. That's nice. I wonder who put that up.
It's
probably somebody, probably a fan of some kind, a BillWhittle.com member or something. Hey, look, there's another one. Oh, you guys are doing, no, this is too much, really. Thank you. But to answer your question, Scotty, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And that's one of the most profound little aphorisms we have in this language. It is an indication of how much harm can be done when we try to do good. And in this case, I think it's just another echo of the whole idea of the self-esteem movement, which is we will give you the compliments first, and then you can do the work later. It's kind of like you're in an esteem debt. I never really thought of it that way before. But people like us who grew up in a different time would be praised after we did something good. We paid in full, and here's your reward. In the self-esteem movement, you've got kind of an esteem debt. All these wonderful things have been said about you, haven't done anything yet. And I think the worst part about this is that it creates, even if they were correct, let's assume that the self-esteem movement people were correct, that it did help people feel good about things. Reality does intrude at some point or another, and the entire process of growing up is coming to grips with your shortcomings and your strengths, and playing the strengths and trying to ignore the shortcomings. Everybody's got shortcomings. I can't think of any for myself right now, but I'm quite sure they're there.
Do you need to take a moment, Bill?
I might. You know, maybe we'll just do it in an edit. We'll cover
this
in post.
That's why we have a comment section, Bill.
We'll cover it in post. But in all seriousness, the ability to come to grips with what you actually are and who you actually are is not only the beginning of adulthood, it's the beginning of happiness. You can't swim in a river you can't swim in, and there are many things that I wanted to do that are just simply out of bounds for me. You know, nothing I can do about it. Wanted to be a fighter pilot? I'm not a fighter pilot. I talk about it, and all my shows are related to it, but no matter how much I want to be, I can't be one because my vision's not good enough. Now, I could say, you're a fighter pilot, Bill, you know, but that's not helping me any. What I have to do instead is I have to say, well, you know, your vision wasn't good enough here, so go see if you can. What's the closest airplane you can buy if you work very, very hard to get you as close to that as possible? And I think that attitude is what's really missing in society today.
And once you get that 50 caliber Gatling gun mounted in the nose of your experimental aircraft, I think you'll be fully there.
Well, I don't. It's not just necessarily experimentals. I won't take a Cessna up unless we are, unless we're air to ground capable. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you know, Bill, you reminded me of the old story of the little boy who went back out in the backyard with a baseball bat and a ball, and he put the bat on his shoulder and held the ball in his left hand, and he said, "I am the greatest batter on earth." And he threw the ball in the air, and he swung mightily at it and completely missed. He picked the ball up again, hoisted the bat again. He said, "I am the greatest batter on earth." And he threw the ball up in the air, and he swung at it, and he missed again. So he bent over and he picked up the ball and he rested the bat on his shoulder and he said, "I am the greatest pitcher on earth."
What a great story. I love that.
The author of this Psychology Today article, this Rene Engeln, has written a book called Beauty Sick. And in a way, Stephen Green, there is this sickness, this cultural obsession with physical appearance. You know, it reminded me of an old friend of mine who was an alcoholic who went to a treatment center. And then later I was talking to him and he said, "Well, they tell me at the treatment center that I have low self-esteem." And his name was Corey. And I said, "Well, with all due respect, Corey, my perception is that you have high self-esteem." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Everything's about Corey. It's, you know, what's wrong with Corey and why can't Corey do this? And why does Corey keep drinking? And why does, you know," and it's constantly nonstop self-talk. And I think, Steve, is it maybe that's the problem, this whole self-esteem movement addressed by this "You Are Beautiful" banner or billboard is really just completely headed in the wrong direction. Our problem is external to us, perhaps, in some ways, but really it's inside.
Yeah, oh boy, you may be right. Okay, let me preface my answer by saying this. My wife and I, just a couple of months ago, celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary. And after all these years, I barely know how she thinks. No, I take that back. I don't know how she thinks. I don't understand it. I don't understand how women think. I don't understand how other men think. And I'm only very dimly aware of how I think. It's just, it's not in my skill set. I'm not sure anybody really understands what goes on in another person's mind, and I'm fine with that. I would like to think, and this is what I first thought when you introed this story in the backstage segment, I would like to think that as people, as a species, that we are generous and confident enough to simply take a compliment in the warm spirit in which it was intended and feel good about ourselves for a second and leave it at that. But apparently we aren't. That's just not who we are as a species. What a shame that is. Unlike communists and leftists, though, I'm not going to try and, you know, pound those square pegs into the round hole. Instead, I do still like this idea of helping people feel good about themselves, even if it's just for a moment. But clearly, feeding into self-esteem that isn't genuine with a compliment that is generic and meaningless isn't doing the trick. Go figure. So instead, if you want to make somebody feel better about themselves, even a perfect stranger, why don't you do a nice gesture for them? It can be simple as holding a door, helping with the groceries, whatever it is, just a small, simple gesture. And maybe they'll do something nice for you. And if they do, you know, there's a word. It's I think it may be my favorite word in the English language. I overuse it. I catch myself and I try and stop myself and I keep overusing it. But the word, it's not beauty. It's not beautiful. It's lovely. Lovely is one of those words that just says, "Oh, isn't that nice?" but without putting any pressure on anybody. So if somebody does that nice gesture for you, tell them that was lovely. And maybe they'll take that real compliment in the same spirit that their nice gesture was given to you.
Well, as Chrissy Hynde, the lead singer from The Pretenders, used to say, nobody's perfect, not even a perfect stranger. And I think that when we try to make everybody feel good about everything, we make nobody feel good about anything. And we just highlight their inadequacy. There is an old saying that it is competence that breeds confidence. And so if you want self-esteem, be good at something. do something well. And maybe that thing that you do well is you're really good at putting on an outfit and some makeup and doing your hair right and you look fantastic. And that's fine. But that's your thing. Okay? And maybe somebody else can, you know, solve a quadratic equation. I don't even know what a quadratic equation is. I'm not even sure what those words as they're coming out of my mouth indicate. And that's fine. But I think that we make a mistake when we try to create sort of this idealized man or woman and then measure ourselves against it. And we make a worse mistake when we try to measure other people against it. So those people, well-intentioned though they may be, who want every woman to look in the mirror at that little post-it note that they've told her to put on the mirror that says, you are beautiful, she looks at that and then she looks at the mirror. And all she sees is the ways in which she falls short. But if you get outside of yourself and say, you know what, instead of focusing on what I look like, why don't I get out there and try to help other people, like Steve's suggesting? Why don't I go out? You know, you don't have time to look in the mirror when you're feeding the poor, for example. You don't have time to look in the mirror when you're trying to land a rocket ship on a space, on a platform that's floating in the ocean. You really don't get absorbed in the more trivial things of life. And I think the overall point that these self-esteem folks need to understand is beauty is fleeting. No matter how beautiful you look at 25, you're not going to look the same kind of beautiful at 85. The real beauty comes from the character of a person, and the real sense of esteem comes from the accomplishments of a person. And that's what we need to recognize and reward. But that's kind of superfluous, because a person who has accomplishments and who has character already knows it. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green and the entire Right Angle team, thanks to the members of BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.